President Biden is moving on a broad front tonight to put his stamp on national policy. Leading the list, the war on COVID-19. Our White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor begins our coverage.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
A new president and a new packed agenda. Today, on his first full day in office, President Biden was eager to hit the ground running.
This executive order I'm signing.
He unveiled a number of new measures. He also pledged to confront the nation's public health crisis head on.
We didn't get into this mess overnight. It's going to take months for us to turn things around. But let me be equally clear. We will get through this. We will defeat this pandemic. And to a nation waiting for action, let me be the clearest on this point. Help is on the way.
Today, he signed 10 executive orders to accelerate the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines, bolster their supply along with testing by ramping up manufacturing, require masks on all public transportation, and address the disproportionate impacts of the pandemic on communities of color by establishing a task force to offer recommendations. President Biden's actions are at the center of a nationalized response. They stand in stark contrast to the Trump administration's approach, which relied heavily on the states to address the crisis. Today's orders also come exactly 1 year since the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in the U.S. Since then, well over 400,000 Americans have died. And in the last 24 hours alone, the nation reported another 4,300 deaths.
Obviously, we are still in a very serious situation.
At the White House today, Dr. Anthony Fauci did not sugarcoat the challenges. He said that from now on, the science would speak for itself.
One of the things that we're going to do is to be completely transparent, open, and honest. If things go wrong, not point fingers, but to correct them and to make everything we do be based on science and evidence.
Dr. Fauci, now the president's top medical advisor on COVID-19, also acknowledged the difficulties he had working under President Trump.
I can tell you, I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president. So it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it.
Fauci is also leading efforts to return the U.S. to a major role in the global response to the virus. He is seeking to mend ties broken by President Trump.
The United States also intends to.
This morning, via video conference, he addressed leaders of the World Health Organization. He spoke about President Biden's move to resume funding and staffing support for the UN agency. He also said through the global initiative known as COVAX, the U.S. will join in securing vaccines for poor countries. The WHO's director general, in turn, hailed the announcement.
Thank you so much, my brother Tony. This is a good day for WHO and a good day for global health.
Beyond the pandemic, the new administration moved to unravel President Trump's hardline immigration policies. Mr. Biden specifically rolled back the all-inclusive approach to deportations. Instead, a memo from the Department of Homeland Security last night focused on priority targets. It also paused all other deportations for the next 100 days. The president has already sent his own immigration plan to Congress. It was unveiled along with an initial 17 executive actions signed by Mr. Biden hours after inauguration. Some relate to immigration, including preserving the DACA program that bars deportation of those who arrived in the U.S. as children. Others direct that the United States will rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, revoke the permit to the Keystone XL pipeline, and extend a federal moratorium on home evictions. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives moved to advance Mr. Biden's nomination of retired Army General Lloyd Austin for Secretary of Defense.
On this vote, the yeas are 326, the nays are 78. The bill is passed.
Lawmakers voted to waive a ban on recently retired officers serving in that role. The Senate approved the waiver as well. And today there was also a hearing for the president's choice for transportation secretary. Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend and once a primary rival of Mr. Biden, promised to work to rebuild an economy ravaged by the pandemic.
Infrastructure can be the cornerstone to all of this, and you have my commitment that I will work closely with you to deliver the innovation and the growth that America needs in this area.
Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, that's one pledge from the new administration among many.
And Yamiche joins us now from the White House. So, Yamiche, this was day one for this new administration. Overall, how would you say it's going?
This is day one, the first full day of the 46th president of the United States term. President Biden hit the ground running. He is signing executive order after executive order. Now, they say that they are really focused, this administration, on changing the tone, turning the page away from Biden's predecessor, and really focusing on a number of issues, top among them being the COVID-19 pandemic, wanting to really talk about that and sign several executive actions really based on trying to fight that virus, trying to really, they say, do it in an equitable way. But they're also focused on a number of pillars. They have four pillars. It's COVID-19, the economy, climate change, and racial justice. And they say racial justice includes immigration because we've seen a number of immigration executive actions as well. But overall, what they're saying is that this is really a complete change of tone. Even today at the White House briefing, and of course, I should say we're already in a second White House briefing, which is a big change since the Trump administration was not holding those briefings regularly. But they say, and Dr. Fauci in particular said, that he feels more liberated because he's letting science lead the way. That he said, is a big difference, because at times he felt uncomfortable when President Trump was out there distributing information that he said was not scientifically based.
Yeah, as we heard. And Yamiche, you mentioned what a priority COVID is for this administration. What more is there to say about what they're doing on that front?
The chief thing that I've heard today talking to Biden officials about their COVID-19 response is they inherited a mess. I'm told that they're not starting from scratch, but they are very close to it. They say, yes, it's true. 16 million people have been vaccinated with the COVID-19 pandemic and the COVID-19 vaccine. But I just talked to a number of officials who told me that the vaccine plan for the Trump administration was essentially dumping it into states and letting the states deal with distribution. They say that can't be the way that this is done. Instead, they're going to be working with pharmacies, community centers, a number of other ways to try to get vaccines into people's arms as quickly as possible. They also told me that the Trump administration in some way, they had some plans that they're going to build on, so they weren't at all saying that the Trump administration was completely all bad. But what they really said was that this was a federal response that really didn't have all the tools and resources necessary to fully respond to the vaccine, fully respond to the virus, rather. They also said that testing, which of course has been something that we've been struggling with, is still something that they need to deal with in this country.
And Yamiche, I think almost everywhere we've seen the new president in the last day or so, we've also seen Vice President Kamala Harris. What more are you learning about what her role is so far?
The role of Vice President Harris, I'm told, is going to be evolving, but it's going to be including a number of different areas, including the COVID-19 pandemic, trying to be in a number of meetings, trying to really be a counselor to the president. She's also going to be involved in, I'm told, the economy and labor and jobs and racial equity across the agencies. I was also told something very specific. Yes, it's true, she's a former prosecutor, but they're stressing her team not to make it too narrow of a focus on criminal justice. They say they have a whole Department of Justice to deal with that, and that she is not going to be overly involved in the Department of Justice, but she is, of course, interested in criminal justice as well.
And finally, Yamiche, the question of when and how the impeachment trial for former President Trump will take place in the Senate. White House has been asked a lot of questions about that. What are they saying?
Well, first, we should say Nancy Pelosi today held a briefing, and she said that President Trump, even though he's gone, cannot get a pass. Let's listen to what she had to say.
You don't say to a president, do whatever you want in the last months of your administration. You're going to get a get out of jail card free because people think we should make nice and forget that people died here on January 6th. It will be soon. I don't think it will be long, but we must do it.
Now, Lisa, of course, our congressional correspondent, she's really been digging into this. She said that her sources are telling her that McConnell wants to start the impeachment trial on the week of February 14th. Yes, that's right, February 14th. That's a long way away. Essentially, McConnell also put out a statement after Lisa's reporting saying that he wants to make sure that President Trump has the proper time to get his defense ready and that the House should not be really trying to push this too quickly. He said that this has, of course, been a short process, and it was a short process. between when they introduced the articles of impeachment and when they voted on it, much shorter than the first time around. But of course, Democrats say that the evidence is so clear that the president incited an insurrection that this should not be a really a hard thing to prove. That said, President Trump is building his defense team. I was giving a call to a lawyer that essentially is going to be part of his defense team. Rudy Giuliani, his personal attorney, might actually not be part of that defense team. I'm being told now that he might be a witness because he was part of the rally before the mob stormed the Capitol. So all of this we need to watch. But Mitch McConnell making very clear right now that he wants us to go into February. So this was not going to be something he wants to go into next week. We are waiting to hear what Democrats have to say, of course, because it's now Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He's going to have a big say in that. And of course, McConnell is the minority leader now.
Right. We will certainly have to watch and see how that gets worked out. Yamiche Alcindor at the White House, thank you so much on this first day.
Thanks so much.